الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأوحى ربك إلى النحل أن اتخذي من الجبال بيوتا ومن الشجر ومما يعرشون وقد ورد عن سيد البشر صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال مثل المؤمن مثل النحلة لا تأكل إلا طيبا ولا تضع إلا طيبا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. In the Quran Majid, these is that has been named Suratul Nahl, the Surah of the Honeybee. And in the Surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes specific mention of different signs of His Qudrat, different signs of His power and His might. And amongst the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of is that of the honeybee. That this is such a small creature, such a small insect. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it as a sign of His Qudrat and His power. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes and He explains that وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ, that your Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired that honeybee. أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ, that oh honeybee, that construct your home, that build your hive and construct that hive in the trees, in the mountains, and in the dwellings and in the constructions of people. And this is not the only command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this honeybee. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is further commanded that ثُمَّ كُلِي مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ, that thereafter go out and eat and consume from all types of fruits. فَسْلُكِي سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ ذُلُلًا, and then follow your paths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chalked out for you with humility and in total subservience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ, and then a liquid comes out from the stomach and the belly of these honeybees whose colors differ. فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ, and therein lies a cure for mankind. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and in that lies a sign for a people to reflect. That just the single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone shows us and makes us marvel at the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires it to construct that hive of it alone. That this alone is mind-boggling. That the manner in which it constructs it, the manner in which it collects the nectar, and how it puts together the wax to form the comb, and thereafter the different procedures that are put in place for it to process that honey, and thereafter mankind very easily consumes that honey without any difficulty whatsoever. But then together with that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this creation of His, the honeybee, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it listens and obeys to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then explains that مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ مَثَلُ النَّحْلَةِ, of a true and perfect believer is like that of a honeybee. لَا يَأْكُلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَضَعُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا, it only consumes that which is pure, and it only creates and gives off that which is pure. So commentators of hadith explain that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has drawn a simile and a resemblance between a honeybee and a perfect mu'min, and a, then what are the reasons, what are the aspects of this similarity? And so they enumerate several reasons and several aspects, that these aspects which are found in the honeybee are ought to be found in a perfect mu'min and in a perfect believer. And if a person does not have these qualities within his life, then he is even lower than that of a honeybee. His martaba and his rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that lower of a honeybee. For he does not possess these qualities which even this great, which even the small creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses. So the commentators of hadith explain, and even every common human being, if he has to just apply his mind and just study the manner in which these bees live, the manner in which they fulfill the command and the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one would be able to extract different lessons from the life of these honeybees. But nonetheless, the commentators of hadith, the shurrah of hadith, they explain that the first reason of resemblance between that of a honeybee and a perfect mu'min, a kamil mu'min, is that of hazqun nahlati wa fatnutuhu. That honeybee, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed it with skills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed it with a certain level of acumen. And it utilizes what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed it with to its level best. So likewise, a kamil and a perfect mu'min is he whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. And this is every human being has been blessed with a superior level of intellect and understanding that compared to the rest of the Allah wa ta'ala. And this is among the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the best of creation. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a superior level of intellect compared to the other creations. But then when man has been given the skill, when man has been given this high level of acumen, then now what is ought to be found from man? What should be his response? His response should be that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left at my should be used purely and only for the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purely and only to fulfill the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not to utilize it in anything that would contravene the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is a perfect mu'min and a perfect believer, then whatever resources Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left at his disposal, whether it is his wealth, whether it is the skills, whether it is his intellect, whether it is his strength, whether it is his stamina and power and might, but he would utilize it and channel all his efforts in earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second aspect of resemblance and similarity between a perfect mu'min and that of a honeybee, وَقِلَّةُ أَذَى, that honeybee very rarely causes any type of inconvenience to those that are around it. That yes, when it finds itself and it senses some type of danger, then only will that honeybee attack a person that is around it. But as long as it does not sense any danger, it does not feel that its territory is being encroached, that honeybee is extremely safe, it is extremely fine, that it would not harm and endanger the life of any person. So likewise, a kamil and a perfect mu'min and believer is he who doesn't cause the least type of taklif and inconvenience to the next person. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained in the Mubarak hadith that al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi, that who is a perfect Muslim, who is a perfect believer, that each and every person says that I am a Muslim. When you are asked what is your religion, then you would say it is Islam. And when it is asked that who are you, you would say that I am a Muslim. But do we fulfill this criteria that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has outlined in this Mubarak hadith that al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi, a person who deserves to be called a Muslim is he who others are saved from the harm of his hands and the harm of his tongue. Meaning that there is no physical abuse that is found from this person and no verbal abuse that is found from this person. That he treats every person with kindness, with compassion. And no matter who that person may be, what background this person may be coming from. When we say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak life is filled with lessons of this kind of treatment, of compassion, of kindness, of gentleness to one and all. Whether it was the family members of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whether it was outsiders, that many a times it happens that a person to those on the outside, then he sees them very kindly, he will show them a smile, he will speak to them very gently. But then when he comes back home, then now he is a totally different person. Now he feels that now this is my domain, this is the place where I need to show my authority and my strength. And then he does not worry how he speaks, whether he hurts the feelings of those at home, whether it is the feelings of his wife, of his siblings, of his parents, of his children, of his dependents. But he feels to himself that now within that home, this is my space, and I can behave however I want. But when we look at the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this was never the case. As the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha explains, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times would return back home late at night, then what kind of compassion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would display, that how Nabi conduct himself in such a manner, that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would open the door, then it would be with such gentleness that if a person was sleeping, then that person's sleep would not be disturbed by the opening and the closing of the door. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make salam upon entering the home. But again, his voice would be at such a level that if a person was asleep, then that salam would not disturb the person's sleep. And if that person was awake, then he would be able to hear the salam and give a response to that salam. So it is up to us to now compare our behavior to the behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That can any comparison be drawn? That are we anywhere close to the manner in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with those at home, with those around him? So this is the second quality that a Hanibi has, which is an aspect of similarity with a perfect and a kamil mu'min. And that is waqillatu adha, that it very rarely causes any type of inconvenience to the next person. And then the third aspect of similarity, waqunu'uhu, and the aspect of contentment, that if one looks at that honeybee, then in the morning it would set out from its hive, going out searching for the nectar from the different plants and the different flowers. But then, once it has collected whatever it is required for the day, it returns back to that hive, and then once again it infuses that hive with that nectar that it has collected. But it will not go out of that hive for a second time, or it will not go and collect more than what it requires. So a perfect mu'min is he who is totally content, happy with his lot, that he does not desire anything more, that he does not have, but rather he has that qana'at, he has that contentment in his life. And this is one of the lessons that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in one of his Mubarak du'as, وَقَنِّعْنِي بِمَا رَزَقْتَنِي, that, O Allah, make me content with the rosy that you have provided me. Otherwise, if a person is deprived of this great quality of qana'at, this great quality of contentment, then it is only himself to blame, that his life becomes a misery, that every coming day is a day that way he is just filled with desire, that now how can I earn more, how can I earn more? And after all, this is the nature of man. Allahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that لُوْكَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمْ وَادِيَانِ مِنْ ذَهَبُ, that if a person had to have two valleys filled with gold, لَبْتَغَى ثَالِثَ, then he would still be desirous of a third valley. And this is the nature of man. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that the only thing that would fill his belly would be the dust and the sand of the grave. But then this is of a normal human being. A perfect mu'min and a kamil mu'min is he who is totally content and happy with his lot, that he does not desire more than what he wants. Once a person came to a pious buzur and he offered him a whole bag of coins. And he told this buzur that this is a gift from me to you. So this buzur told him that, no, I am happy with what I have. So this person said that, no, this is for you. So this buzur replied and said that, I have enough for myself, and perhaps you are more in need than me. So this person replied and said that, I have enough for myself. So then this pious person asked him, but if I ask you whether you would desire more for yourself, what would be your response? So he replied and said that, the Buzurg replied and said that, yes, you are more in need than me. Whatever little Allah has given me, I am happy and content with it. And you do not have that contentment. So you are a more muhtaj person. You are more in need than myself. So this is the third quality that a Hanifi has, which is a direct resemblance with that of a perfect mu'min. And that is the quality of qana'at, the quality of contentment. And then the fourth quality is that of wasa'yuhu fil layl. That if one looks at that honeybee, then during the day it sets out and moves out of its hive. And then it collects the nectar from the different plants. And then by nightfall it returns back to that hive. But then throughout the night that bee is now engaged and working very tirelessly now to produce that honey. And its entire night then goes in this process of producing that honey. And then by the morning it now then sets out from its hive to go again and collect that honey, and to collect that nectar. So again, a true and a kamil mu'min is he who during the day fulfills his worldly necessities, his requirements. But then at night, he works tirelessly to earn the proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the muttaqeen in the Qur'an Majeed, then amongst the qualities of the muttaqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains and says, that wabil ashari hum yastaghfirun, that at the time of sihri, in the early parts of the morning, they are there out engaging in istighfar, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained with regards to the performance of tahajjud salah, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged with emphasis to the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and then he said, hada da'bu salihina qablakum, that this was the way and the pattern of even the pious before you. That in the pious of the previous nations, they also understood the value of the night, the value of the last portions of the night. That when a person would engage in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engage in the tahajjud salah, engage in the istighfar, engage in the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that ibadat, what it would do to a person, ibadat carried out during other times of the day will never be able to bring about that effect. But then again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his compassion, his grace and his kindness is such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the weakness of his ummah. He understood that many a times a person may fail to accomplish this great ibadat of tahajjud. So on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala an. And he's explained to Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala an that if you find it difficult to wake up in the morning, in the early portions of the morning, then before going to bed, perform a few rakat of salah with the intention of qiyamul layl, with the intention of tahajjud salah. But together with that, have that desire and have that intention that you would try and make an attempt to wake up in the morning. And by performing those few rakats before going to bed, then by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be able to earn for yourself the thawab and the reward of tahajjud salah as well. So such an easy recipe that if a person finds it difficult, especially now in the summer season, that where the time of tahajjud expires very early compared to the winter season. So if a person finds it difficult to perform, to wake up at the early portion of the morning, then before going to bed, perform a few rakats of salah. And through this, inshallah, a person will be able to receive that same reward of tahajjud salah. And then there are many other qualities which that honeybee has, which are in direct similarity with that of a perfect mu'min. And we will just briefly go through all of them. That the next, and the sixth quality is, that وَتَنَزُّهُهُ عَنِ الْأَقْدَارِ, that a honeybee stays very far away from filth. That when it goes out seeking anything, then it would only go out for that which is pure. And a kamil mu'min is he who will only seek that which is pure. That you would never find a honeybee going and settling on feces, on the dung of animal, on dirt. That is the work of a fly. So a kamil mu'min is he who will only go out seeking for that of that which is pure. Even if some information which is corrupt, which is evil, just is about to come into his ears, a perfect mu'min is he who will turn his attention totally away from it. So this is that sixth quality. The seventh quality is that, وَأَنَّهُ وَطِيبُ أَكْلِهِ, That again, what it eats is totally pure and wholesome. And a kamil mu'min is he again who will eat that which is pure and wholesome. That which is totally halal. And this is the very command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid. And regarding which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained in the Mubarak hadith that in Allah amara al-mu'mineen bima amara bihi al-mursaleen. That Allah has given a command to the believers which is the very same command that He has given to the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. The command given to the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, Ya ayyuha ar-rusul kulu min at-tayyibati wa amu. Messengers, consume that which is pure. And in another ayat of the Quran Majid, Ya ayyuha al-ladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Commanding the believers, consume that which is totally pure from the sustenance that Allah has provided you with. And then the eighth quality is that وَطَاعَتُهُ لِأَمِيرِهِ. That honeybee listens entirely to what the queen bee commands it to do. So likewise, the Amir and the head of every mu'min is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Rabb. So a mu'min, a perfect mu'min is he who ought to obey every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the last quality is that a honeybee has different obstacles in its life. That at times due to some fire, at times due to drought, it cannot venture out, nor would it be able to collect its nectar. But that honeybee will endure all that suffering. And it will wait for a time to come when it will be able to go out and collect that nectar for itself. So likewise, a kamil mu'min at times in life will face different challenges. But the need of that time would be for him to endure, to exercise sabr, to persevere, to undergo the challenge and have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to come out of the challenge and that problem that he is facing. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us the tawfiq of instilling within our lives these great qualities that a kamil and a perfect mu'min is supposed to be having in his life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.